Welcome to Informed Discussions, the official podcast of the Kempsey Gardner Policy Institute at the University of Utah. I'm Nick Theriot, Communications Specialist at the Gardner Policy Institute. Today we're talking demographics with our very own Dr. Pam Perlick. Utah is well known for its signature demographic profile, and on June 22nd, the U.S. Census Bureau released its latest round of population estimates for the state of Utah. Here to discuss the latest data is Dr. Pamela Perlick, Director of Demographic Research at the Kempsey Gardner Policy Institute. Welcome, Pam. Thank you for being here.
Why, thank you, Nick.
I understand we've had a big census release this week.
That we have. Now, this is the very final increment of the population estimates for 2016, the vintage for July 1st, 2016, and it's been released incrementally beginning in December, where we got the state numbers. We found that we were the number one growth state in the nation, and then we had the county numbers, and then the place numbers. Now, this release, what makes it special is that we get the age detail, age and sex and race and ethnicity, all the way down to the county level. So it's the final chapter of the vintage 2016.
What are the other top sheet results we're seeing in terms of overall trends, as well as the age structure of Utah in this latest release?
Well, we learned back in December that Utah is the fastest growing state in the nation. And then incrementally throughout the year, we learned where that growth is occurring. We learned it's occurring in Salt Lake County, the southern part of Salt Lake County, the northern part of Utah County, in the ring counties, in the commuting areas, and also southwest Utah. What this release does now is shows us how the age structure is changing over time. So their estimates for every year from July 1st, 2010, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. So you can watch these changes rolling across time. Now, as far as age goes, Utah maintains its standing as the youngest state in the nation with the lowest median age. But that median age continues to increase. And we're now at a median age of 30.8. That means half the population's older than 30.8 years old. That's pretty amazing for people who've been watching that over time. Again, we have an aging baby boom generation, and people are having fewer kids, but we maintain our standing as having the largest households in the nation, too.
Now, the latest trends indicate the minority share of the population of Utah is increasing. Are we seeing this trend continue, and to what extent?
Yes. And this increase in minority shares of the population, this is a very special, or I should say idiosyncratic definition of who is a minority based on race. It has a long history going back to 1790 and race politics in our country. But for many years, Utah was a very isolated, geographically isolated place and an enclave for a very particular people. And what happened beginning in 1980 and then continuing and really escalating in the 1990s and into the 2000s is that people began to move to Utah in very large numbers. And in that period of time from 1990 up until 2008, the onset of the Great Recession, a large proportion of those people who moved to the state were from international regions. And so they are people who would call themselves Asian or Black or Pacific Islander in the race category. So we have just the race categories showing up here, not where people were born. The basic question is you identify your race and you can pick more than one. In the current iteration of this race question, you can pick white, Black or African American, Asian, Native Hawaiian, Pacific Islander, Native American, Alaska Native, or none of the above, which is called some other race. Then there's a completely separate question that says, are you, what is your ethnicity? Only one is recognized, and that is Hispanic origin. And so a minority in this data set would be anybody who answers differently than me. I am just white. Most of my people are from Germany. And I am not Hispanic. So if you have a grandmother who's Japanese or grandfather who's Navajo or whatever in your heritage, then you would be classified as a minority in this data set. So as the immigrants came to Utah in large numbers beginning in the 1990s and coming from really from all over the world, they were young. And of course, young people tend to have babies. The older people who have been here for many generations are mostly white, native-born, English-speaking, and they're beginning to reach the ages where the probability of death goes up and, sorry to break it to you, eventually hit one. So it's this very slow-motion movie that we're watching, and it's continuing to play, and that's what this data is showing us, where the young are very multicultural, multilingual, multi-ethnic, multiracial, and the old are not. They're more homogenous, and the newcomers having kids. So we see in this data set, for example, if we look at the fastest growing minority groups in this data set, the ones that are recognized in this data set, then we can see that the two are Asian and multi-race or mixed heritage kids. If we look at the percentage of what is called non-Hispanic multiple race, okay? But we're talking mixed heritage kids, for the most part, over half of that group of people who identify as being of mixed heritage are people under the age of 18, they're kids. So these are people who are the children of that wave of immigrants who came and who are in mixed heritage, who their parents are mixed heritage. The other who are coming of age. I mean, if you think your parents came in the 90s, you were born in the 90s, you're coming of age. And then the other group is Asian. And Asians are not growing through birth so much as they are growing through migration. Currently, the largest foreign-born source region for immigrants to Utah is Asia. So think India, think China. Think universities, think Silicon Slopes, think all of the industries that are bringing those populations. Hispanics continue to be the largest minority group, but they're growing not through migration. They're growing through births greater than deaths, natural increase.
Now, there appears to be a growing narrative of what's been called the Tale of Two Utahs, referring to the differing economic and demographic profiles of urban and rural Utah. Now, what trends are we seeing at the county level in this data? And does it reinforce that narrative? Does it discount that narrative? How would you view that based on what we're seeing in this data?
Well, what we're seeing in this data, and remember, it's only a partial capture of diversity. Let me just digress for a moment. If you are a person who's come from Northern Africa or the Middle East, say a Syrian refugee, you're instructed to answer white alone and not Hispanic. So you're answering the very same as I am. So let me just put that out there. There's a lot more diversity in Utah than what shows up in the data. But no, it's not just two Utahs. We've got dozens and dozens and dozens of Utahs. If we look to another data set, which is the fall survey that they do in the public school system every year, the last fall survey, they asked the kids all the way up to high school seniors, what language do you speak when you go home at night? And last year, it was 129 languages. In the Salt Lake City School District alone, 105. So we're talking about many, many dozens of cultural enclaves, ethnic enclaves of so many different origins. So really, Utah's never had so much cultural and linguistic diversity and a reach into so many intellectual traditions that we've never had before. And then the other thing we see in all the census data, if you put it all together, is so many different kinds of households. You know, we've got, you know, a growing aging population that shows up in this data set, which of course are smaller households. But then we see, with age of first marriage going up and many people never getting married, a wide variety of ways that people are living either in family situations or non-family situations or by them. So the diversity cross-cuts all of these metrics, culture, living arrangements, language. And this data set picks up on the race and ethnicity, a component of it. So beyond there being just one Utah there or two Utahs, there are many. And even if you break it down on rural and urban, they're different because if you go to a county like San Juan County, it's been what we would call minority-majority forever, and that's the Navajo Nation. So you can't say that rural Utah is a particular way either. If you look at places like Washington County, its growth trajectory is back on track to growing more like what we see the Vegas area or the Phoenix area. That the growth dynamics down there are far different, and it has a retirement migration associated with it. Very different than a look at Cache County, where we have Utah State University and lots of young people. And I could just go on and on. And where it really gets fun and interesting and informative is when you zoom down to the small areas of people's neighborhoods, because all this stuff at county level still hides. I mean, when you talk averages, you're just schmooshing everybody into one number. And as you go down to the neighborhood level, then you see the diversity just explodes. And so kind of the bottom line from this data set and from the continuing data and evidence that we see is that Utah's ongoing demographic and cultural and economic transformation continues, and it's ongoing and it's cumulative and it's irreversible, that as this young, dynamic, diverse generation continues to move up into adulthood, and as the less diverse baby boomers begin to sadly fall off the population pyramid, then Utah, along with the rest of the nation, becomes a much more complex and diverse place.
So through the demographic lens, we might call it a tale of many Utahs.
Yes. I would say a tapestry of many dozens of richly beautiful people in intellectual and cultural and linguistic traditions. And that is, in these times where we face many challenges and we need to think of new ways of thinking, new ways of doing things, create and invent new approaches to address the emerging complexities and challenges that we face. Wow, how lucky are we to have so many different points of view brought to bear on all these issues. And we see this in scientific discoveries, that work teams that bring international people into them, they solve problems more quickly because they've got these different cultural lenses. It's like different generations see different things. I mean, the more diversity you bring to bear in solving a very complex problem, the faster you get there. We've got that now in Utah for the first time. It's an amazing transformation, and it just continues. Why is it occurring? Because Utah's a place of economic and educational opportunity, and we're growing. It is a great compliment to us as a place and as a people, as peoples, that young people move here from far away and start their lives. That tells us we're a place with a future.
So many more good things to come.
Many more good things to come.
Pam, thank you for being here. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Nick, for your interest in demographics.
You've been listening to Informed Discussions, the official podcast of the Kempsey Gardner Policy Institute at the University of Utah. The Kempsey Gardner Policy Institute is an initiative of the David Eccles School of Business. Learn more and join the discussion at gardner.utah.edu.